8.07 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Monday. Glad to have you along. More updates coming with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. But chilly this morning, 41 now, heading for a high around 54 or so. And then by the end of the week, into the weekend, some rain in the mix. We'll talk to him more about that coming up. But right now, speaking of talking to folks, we check in with our buddy Jeff Poor, who, of course, you read in Lanyap and Breitbart News, yellowhammernews.com, and also host of his own radio show now. He's into the radio ranks, and he's cursing me every day that he does it, up at WVNN in Huntsville. Jeff Poor, live from Montgomery. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for that blight on my resume.
You've joined the ranks, man. I love it. I'm happy about that. Remind folks, too, if they want to check the show out, they can go online to WVNN.com and get the stream.
WVNN.com. It's on the iHeart app or the TuneIn app as well. So 2 to 5 every day. Weekdays.
All right.
So, definitely worth checking out.
All right. So you are on location today away from the home studio. You're in Montgomery for the inauguration of Governor Kay Ivey for her first full term. She was down here in our neck of the woods over the weekend celebrating with that party down at Gulf State Park. And I want to kind of get some talk about that. Also saw the story over at the ALNewsWire.com that 1963 high school yearbook prophecy said Kay Ellen Ivey has just been elected governor. Tell us more about that story.
So the way she was a graduate of Wilcox County High School in 1963, and the way they do, you know, the high school yearbook prophecies, it was a little different the way they did it. It was one of her classmates had written a letter to two other classmates. At the very end of this letter, kind of going through what everybody's doing now, the letter describes a celebration down at the town square in Camden. And the reason why, come to find out, is that Kay Ellen Ivey had just been elected governor of Alabama. So they I believe the date was 1980, so they missed it by a couple of decades, but they did call it. So she was I guess she was on this track kind of to look like she was going to be involved in public policy and public service throughout her high school days and then into her college days. And obviously she worked in Montgomery and then state treasurer, then lieutenant governor, and now governor of Alabama.
Yeah, this destiny angle is pretty interesting. I mean, you have that prediction from the high school yearbook that, like you said, a couple decades late, but did come true. But yeah, she went straight from, being a member of class government in high school. You mentioned Auburn. She went in there and did it there as well.
Well, let's keep in mind, Alabama had not had a female governor. This was before William Wallace was elected governor. So I think the prophecy looked at her as like kind of a, she was going to be the one that broke the glass ceiling. I guess she was that impressive at Wilcox County High School that they thought, well, she's better than any of the guys here. She's going to be she's going to be the one that becomes the governor of Alabama.
And then she took that, like you said, went to Auburn. And I want to talk about how it kind of comes together today, because you're talking about the procession today as the governor's inauguration parade will happen there. And you're looking out a window along the parade route where you said it's already been shut down and cordoned off. And the Auburn marching band will be there. You marched in that parade as a member of the Auburn marching band. And you said that Kay Ellen Ivey was a member of that marching band as well.
Right, the University of Alabama marching band, I believe Alabama State, all the sort of big colleges participate in it because it's a state event. But I assume she marched in. I know she was in the marching band for her time at Auburn. I was only in the marching band for 2 years. I got to march in Governor Dodd Siegelman's Inauguration Day parade. That tells you how old I am. But given that she's an alum and that she's participated in this occasion once before, I would assume that it's going to be much like it was when she was with the major state universities marching bands.
Well, by the way, too, you need to check out the story by going to yellowhammernews.com or checking out my Twitter feed where I pop this story up from Jeff, because you'll see the pictures from the yearbook and all that of then young Kay Ellen Ivey and the predictions made. Here she is now in 2019 and elected governor of the state of Alabama. Now, this is interesting as well. The ad that was put out, I think, during the general election, remember, I thought was so very compelling, where it had this photograph of young Kay Ellen Ivey sitting at Lurleen Wallace's desk and saying something to the effect of, I guess I'll never get to be here, or something like that. And I mean, it was such a great ad they used back then. But this is somebody who seems to have been to say it, predestined, maybe for this day.
Well, I think she's always kind of had her eye on The Office. I remember when she's ran, you know, she attempted to run once before. Then as things sort of changed, it didn't look like she was going to win the nomination. I think maybe it was 2010. She went to lieutenant governor and ran for that successfully. But she's always looked to me like she's kind of had her eye on this office. If you've known her, she's also been a very just kind of coming along in Republican Party circles, like a very popular figure in the Alabama Republican Party. You know, she was the one that college Republican groups always wanted to have come speak to their meetings, and she was like very much more accessible then and very much more involved then than your average sort of up and comer, I think.
Just joining us on to Jeff Poore. He is live in Montgomery today at the inauguration, officially in the parade. Right now, you said a prayer service going on?
Yeah, so there's prayer service underway right now, about a mile or so from here. And then right now, the streets are kind of blocked off around the Capitol. If you're familiar with Montgomery, Dexter Avenue is kind of the main stretch that goes from the Capitol steps all the way into the downtown part of Montgomery. And that's, you know, everything around that's sort of blocked off. There's a few cars going through here. I think there's some people that have to work, but my assumption is that if you work in the downtown Montgomery area, you probably have the day off just because of the congestion and things like that. The swearing in isn't until 10 a.m. That's when she is sworn in, and that's when all the other constitutional officers are sworn in as well.
Yeah, it's going to be, and I want to kind of get you to lay some more of the paint the picture for us. But yeah, it's not only, I mean, of course, the top office of the governor, but folks like, you know, that are lieutenant governor on down the list, they will be sworn in today officially as well.
Right. Ainsworth, Ziegler, Steve Marshall, the attorney general, lieutenant governor, state treasurer, all those state auditor, those people are going to be sworn in. That's really what's been going on. I guess you know that she had her kind of pre-party in Gulf Shore Saturday night, and then like last night, that was like when the real sort of, that's when the legislators rolled into town, and they had different parties hosted by the different groups and interest, and you know, people got their photo op with the governor, some of the members of the state house and state senate, and some of the others, you know, the John Merrills and people that you recognize around state politics, they all had different parties around town. And then I think tonight's like the more formal things like that. And then that's when, you know, then things wrap up after that.
All right. Can you hold on over the news break for us? Because I got a few more questions for you.
Sure.
All right. Talking with Jeff Poore. He is live in Montgomery as it's Inauguration Day. Yeah, governor had her party down here, but the serious business and the parade going on up in Montgomery. What about the challenges that Governor Ivey may face going into this first year as a official full-term governor of the state of Alabama? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, and you. Text line, phone line, 343-0106. Also talking with our buddy Jeff Poore from Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Of course, Jeff Poore on the radio now. He's stepped into it big time with us. He's on afternoons on WVNN in Huntsville. But today you are live on location in Montgomery. It is Inauguration Day, and you said your view. Where are you set up, Jeff?
So I'm currently at the Doubletree there. You know, it's between Madison and Monroe, kind of wedged in there, back behind the main drag on Dexter. But I'm up high enough where I could see over some of the buildings over to Dexter and see the police cars and the roadblocks and things like that.
So they already have the parade route shut down.
Yeah, they shut everything down around 6 a.m. They weren't allowing any traffic through except for people that either lived over here or worked over here. I can't think of where the residential places are there, maybe a few apartments or something like that. But to me, for a Montgomery rush hour in the morning, the streets are pretty deserted right now.
And something I have not done before, I've not been present at a gubernatorial inauguration for our state. I think I need to put that on my to-do list to check out as you have the inauguration and then the parade as well. And like you said, the party's the night before, the parties will go on tonight as well. And that's all kind of seamless as it gets ready for sessions starting in early March. Let's talk about this. When KIV ascended to the governorship, and take it over. Expectations were, I think, for a lot of people, just to not screw it up. It had been so embarrassing with Bentley in there, and it, you know, it was, hey, this is a new day because this person's not going to embarrass us like the previous governor. But now, she caught the car. She was elected. She's got a term ahead of her. So there are, I think, fairly some expectations of the governor going forward.
Yeah, and mostly right now, we're talking about the sort of legislative agenda. She's, you know, the governor, unlike other states, isn't quite as powerful in Alabama as it is in a lot of other places. But what she's been doing, and I know this because behind the scenes, she's been pushing for all the things you do in a new quadrennium, which is mostly the gas tax. She really wants the gas tax. She's working behind the scenes on the gas tax. I don't, you know, like people want to think that the lottery is going to be the big issue next session or this coming session. I'm not so sure. I'm sure there'll be some kind of a lottery bill that makes it through, and maybe even, you know, the public will get a vote. But everybody seems to be pointing to this gas tax rate hike and, you know, what that's going to look like. The thing that, about that, though, is nobody, including KIV, has really said what that is, what they think it's, you know, the details, the number, what the money's going to be used for, how it's distributed, all the details. But she's really working behind the scenes, the twisted arms. And here we are, it's January, session's not until March. They had the organizational session last week, but that she's that far ahead of the curve trying to get this thing going. I think that kind of tells you where we're about to have a battle over that. And I think the devil's in the details on that one.
Yeah, but it can be done while the governor, again, not as strong as some other states versus the legislature. The governor can, through the fact that the governor speaks and the cameras show up, right, through the bully pulpit, the governor can set some kind of pacing and direction that if the members of the Senate and the House don't deal with, at least they're on record for not, you know, they could say, here's what I want to see happen. And if people are behind them, kind of puts the members of the legislature on notice.
Yeah, I think so. This governor, the media like to kind of track her and see what she has to say. And I mean, you never did shorts for KIV clips on the evening news. So she'll have that. She'll have that ability, I think. But I don't know, like, where that opposition to it would come from. We had this last election, and a lot of these members ran on infrastructure. Mm-hmm. I know for sure that the governor ran on infrastructure. Now, there was, I think, maybe one or two of the GOP candidates running against Ivy in the primary that lost, they brought up the idea of the gas tax and how Ivy's going to raise your taxes, but it didn't gain any traction. So the fight over whether or not we should have a gas tax or hike, I think, was already fought, and the pro-gas tax hiker won. My suspicion is that the real fight's going to be over what it all looks like, because we haven't heard anybody talk about it. And just to add on that real quick, when we start talking about Grover Norquist's anti-tax pledges and you know, and how conservatives shouldn't be pro-tax hike, whoever the first person out of line doing that in the state legislature, look for this. That person's going to be the person that didn't get things the way they wanted on whatever agreement winds up coming forward and getting a vote.
Now, explain that to people, because you and I have talked about it before. I've mentioned it a few times on the show, but I said, you know, like Jeff has said, the devil's in the details here. In other words, the gas tax goes through, but when they didn't get what they wanted, what does that mean? Is that how much money their area gets, or what are you talking about?
Yeah, there's all kinds of, like, ideas about how to distribute the money. Some think that you ought to leave a percentage of the gas tax revenues collected in said county in that county. Obviously, not all of it that's collected in that county, but a percentage of it, because essentially a gas tax is a use tax. It's people that are using the roads there. They have to drive to get to that gas pump. They're the ones wearing out the roads. Therefore, if the gas is pumped there, they likely use the road, and that can be, those proceeds can be used to improve those roads or build new roads or however, you know, the locals see fit. But if, I think if, like, the other details, like if I don't get my road project earmarked, or if I don't get, you know, a bridge project or whatever, I have to deal with ALDOT, which is a terribly difficult bureaucracy to deal with, is my understanding. I think that's when you start seeing people cry foul, talk about Republicans not being pro-tax, and we've lost our way, and this is what happens with one-party rule. It becomes, at that point, the they can oppose the gas tax, and it's more politically beneficial to do so based on ideology than opposing it because I didn't get my pork or whatever.
Okay. Well, and this is, I mean, you're talking about the one-party rule, though. I've watched this. I said, look at this. It's the natural state of politics is to be battling it out. So even when one party in control, like the Republicans have been here in Alabama, the different cabals within the Republicans show up, and then they fight amongst themselves.
Well, here's what's going on in the legislature, and I've kind of realized this now being a kind of in the Mobile realm and in the Huntsville realm and lived all over the state. The divide isn't the party. The divide's geography right now. It's North versus South Alabama. It's, you know, and there are groups in this state that aren't afraid to, like, say, hey, they're going to waste your taxpayer money on a bridge for those people at the beach, or say things like that while you're sitting in traffic on I-65 downtown Birmingham. They're building a nice wide bridge across the canal to Orange Beach or Gulf Shores or whatever. There's a weird sort of, like, all the North Alabama guys kind of hang out, and all the South Alabama guys hang out. They may agree on abortion, on guns, on all the hot-button issues, but when it comes to what the priority should be, particularly on infrastructure, then you start seeing these geographic sort of weird divisions within the state legislature.
See, y'all, it's not just me that says that. It's Jeff saying, and that's the reality of Montgomery, that they'll campaign on these things that are not even the province of state legislators. They kind of campaign on national issues, but when it comes down to it, the split is absolutely a local split. And that's why I was wondering, is there any tell, or am I just searching for some low-hanging fruit here when Governor Ivey has her party down here in Southwest Alabama? You have Tony Kennan commenting that he thought it was good and they have a good working relationship. Are things maybe, is Kay Ivey somehow better for Southwest Alabama than previous governors?
I think so, because she doesn't really come from a that Birmingham aristocracy, or you know, she's not from the even the Bob Riley wing from East Alabama that kind of gravitated toward the Vestavia Hills and Mountain Brooks and all that. She's been a creature of Montgomery, and in this circumstance, she's not really tied down to the certain parts of the state where the what we used to call the big mules, you know, were all at. That I think is, at least to me, and this is something I've kind of noticed in the campaign, is she's aware that she's governor of the entire state of Alabama, and she's going to all these places. You know, I followed this governor around to, like, Butler, Alabama, to you know, these places in northwest Alabama, Gouin and Winfield. She gets out of Montgomery, and she gets out of the big population centers. My biggest beat during this this last gubernatorial election, and the thing with the way the GOP candidates did ran against Ivey, they spent all their time in Birmingham, and obviously that's where all the votes are, but that tells me that's where they see they need to make their political hay, and therefore that's where they're going to I guess sort of push for the priorities to be, you know, that, you know, Birmingham's going to get more economic development, and maybe, you know, to some degree Huntsville. I think Huntsville kind of does it on its own. But yeah, this could be, and it looks to me like right now that she's not going to be really focused on really bettering one area over another.
That's good news for us down here. And once again, y'all, go check out the story over at yellowhammernews.com. Jeff Poore, the absolute Alabama reporter extraordinaire, that has a story. It has pictures from the 1963 yearbook from Wilcox High School. Man, I'm just great reporting, great digging on that.
Yeah, man, thanks. And yeah, it's worth checking out. There's some, a little bit of context to some of that as well.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Jeff, if people want to catch you online, where do they go?
It's twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
All right, Jeff Poore checking in. And yeah, that's going on today. The proceedings going on in Montgomery for the inauguration. We have coming up today inauguration ceremony, and then the parade's going to go from about 10 this morning through who knows how long it takes to get the party going there in Montgomery. I get the parade could last a long time. You know, I don't think they have any throws, though. You know, as a nod of the hat to Southwest Alabama, if they would have if they'd throw some moon pies during the parade today.
There may be someone who just jumps in.
Starts throwing stuff. Like, all right, 8:30. We'll check in with Dr. Bill for your forecast, get headlines, and be right back. Thank you, Kane. 836 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. We're all doing great here at Mobile Mornings. And if you're out shopping for a new vehicle, well, it's your lucky day and lucky month, because at McConnell Automotive, the 2018 deal still going strong.
Yeah, Dalton, it's just kind of like when you go pick out a puppy when the pick of the litter is gone. Never, you might get the ugly puppy, and really what's cool about this sale that we're still doing is that we have the same kind of deals that we had that people were flocking to in January. We actually hit an annual sales goal in December is what I meant, and the deals have been extended. We just got that news. So if you're into the 2019 truck, Dalton, you've seen it, man. It is the coolest thing out there, but some people still want to get a kind of a new truck, Dalton, at a used truck price, and that's what we've got on these remaining 2018 Sierras. We got the same thing happening. We've got about 5 Yukons left, so it's kind of a perfect time to rush to McConnell and take advantage of the huge discounts, and also check out the new merchandise that's coming in and make a comparison, Dalton.
All right. Thank you, Mitch. Have a great day.
Y'all have a great one, man.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65, and check them out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. All right, 837, phone number 343-0106, 343-0106, as we just talked to Jeff about. Kay Ivey will be sworn in for a full term as governor today. The first 2 years were the steadying the ship of state. In other words, just don't let it coming off of Bentley.
Uh-huh.
I think the expectations of the office at that point were just to keep things going and don't embarrass us. I mean, to put it in layman's terms, but now it's a first full term. It is Kay Ivey's term. It's not the remainder of Bentley's mm-hmm. term. It's Kay Ivey's term as governor. She says she wants to keep Alabama growing. We're talking about the festivities going on. They've been going on for a few days with the parties and all that stuff happening in Montgomery. Today it gets official as they have the prayer service going on right now. Swearing-in ceremony at the Alabama Capitol begins around 10 o'clock this morning. Could last for a couple of hours. Governor Ivey, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, Attorney General Steve Marshall, Treasurer-elect John McMillan, Secretary of State John Merrill, Agriculture Commissioner-elect Rick Pate, Auditor Jim Ziegler are all going to take the oath of office and give speeches. The inaugural parade is expected to begin at noon today, then go down Dexter Avenue. We will talk about that a bunch during Midday Mobile today.
Yeah, back when the governor was state treasurer, she came and spoke at my Clark Prep High School graduation back in 2009. And if I'd known she was going to become governor, maybe I would have gotten a picture with her or a autograph at the time.
If you had gone back and done what, which by the way, when you read that story over at Yellowhammer News from Jeff Poore, realize what you didn't have time to talk about. He has traveled, you know, as many politicians tell you, I've gone to all 67 counties of the state and I'm doing it. Jeff really does. And his reporting shows a true love of the state of Alabama. Just the real stories, and not just the Mobile, Montgomery, Birmingham, Huntsville stories. He loves the little towns that make up the state of Alabama. And the place he stays at, this bed and breakfast there in Camden. Mm-hmm. He stayed there. He said, he told me to go there a couple times. It was nice. He said they got a great breakfast, but they got a library upstairs that's been there for a long time. And he said, Sean, they just let you go through their library, like just touch books, whatever books you want to touch. And he says there they had the Wilcox, because I guess the wife of the husband and wife that run this bed and breakfast went to high school at Wilcox High. Like KIV has the yearbook, and that's where he gets the pictures and their senior destiny. You know, you have the destiny quote, and they said KIV elected governor of the state of Alabama. Think about 1963 in Alabama that they were saying that. And now they thought it was going to happen in the 1980s, so a couple decades late. But that destiny is true. And you see her then from, class office there at high school level. then going to college and doing the same thing, then moving into, you know, real state jobs. And like the picture, remember the picture during the ad, mm-hmm. during the general, where she was sitting there, and basically this idea that this is the closest she would ever get to be. She was sitting at the governor's desk at that point, and she said, this is the closest I'll ever get to being governor. And how poignant that was in that ad. To see this story from Jeff that shows her high school, fellow high schoolers were saying, hey, she's got it. She's going to be our governor. And to watch it come full circle, I think it's a really neat story and a deep dive and kind of connections that Jeff has that I don't think any fly-by-night media in the state does. So, once again, a tip of the hat to Jeff. Great reporting.
Doesn't this make you think of the Ouija board? Remember back in the day?
It doesn't make me think of a Ouija board, but do tell.
But I'm just saying, as far as, I mean, someone back in 1963
yes.
put that out there in the atmosphere of what they thought would happen.
What tells me that she was obviously the most kick-butt person at the school, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you want that person on your side when you're headed to play some sort of, I don't know, lottery game. If they can predict like that, that's good. And especially during that time, that era, thinking about a woman.
Yes.
You know,
they were pretty sure in 1963 that come 1980, they were looking at the governor of the state of Alabama. So she obviously was showing those leadership abilities
yes.
back then when she was a punk kid. You
Look
know,
you. See, you
well, we're all punk kids at
yeah,
some point.
Well,
right?
I wouldn't have said it that way, and but I get what you're saying.
I can't believe the special guest that's going to be there in Montgomery today, former Governor Robert Bentley. Plans on visiting Montgomery.
What?
First time
what?
Since April of 2017.
Where are you getting that
Montgomery
from?
Montgomery Advertiser's Brian Lyman.
I know Lyman's a good source.
He had an interview with Bentley on Saturday night.
Give me a break.
Bentley said he received an invitation, which all former governors receive. That's according to Debbie
Hancock.
So it's
just a matter of state? It's a matter of state. They send it out if you've been a former governor.
Yeah, they send it out to all former governors and former Governor Bentley.
What about Siegelman when he's in prison? Could he have
had him die?
In cuffs, maybe show up. I don't know, but the governor, former governor,
is
Bentley,
he going?
He says, "I really want to come down to support Governor Ivey. She and I have been friends for a long time. It's to honor the office of the governor."
But it's going to be such a distraction to have a cool sculpting there right now.
He's got to understand that if he does go, it becomes more of a political circus than the obvious of swearing in our lawmakers.
Yeah. Debbie Hancock,
Bentley,
the spokeswoman for Ivey's inaugural committee, she confirmed that he was invited. She said all former governors were invited to join Alabamians in celebrating the historical inauguration of the first female Republican governor. This day is about honoring Governor Kay Ivey and reaffirming her commitment and vision to keep Alabama growing.
But on the flip side, if he weren't invited, then that's a whole different story.
Now, you have
to
go through
it.
The motions here.
Right.
Obviously, it's a function of the state that you invite all former governors to a new inauguration. That's fine. It also should then be incumbent upon Robert Bentley, Dr. Bentley, to say, not this one.
To know when to say when.
You know, you would think that he would be...
Yeah.
But you hear the stuff he says. Still, it's like he's clueless to what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But you would hope... I still want, yes, the state has to have a policy, and I don't know if, you know, I mean, he leaves office, you know, with misdemeanors, and we can go back and rehash what should have happened, but it didn't. So they send it out. He can come to the inauguration, but it's also it's on him to have, in this case, say, probably not. This is Kay Ivey's day, and if I'm there, it's not like having a former governor that, you know, that doesn't have the bad stuff wrapped around him like Bentley. I'm really disappointed.
He needs someone in his circle that will keep it real and say, your heart may be in the right place, but this may not be the time for you to show your face.
I don't think he has that person.
Yeah, well, he's been accused of making some pretty off-the-wall decisions with some of his movements.
Well said.
And so you have to wonder if he's going to be there with he's been linked to Rebecca Mason.
Mm-hmm.
Where will she be?
Yes, is she there?
Where is her former husband, or is he still her husband?
I think they're
John
still there.
Mason?
Yeah,
okay,
yes,
so
mm-hmm.
where will he be? I mean, will this be a reenactment?
I don't know if they got an invitation or not.
If they do show up, then it'll be an even bigger story. If you see pictures of the former governor and Rebecca Mason.
I hope not. I hope they have the sense to, first of all, for former Governor Bentley to stay home, but it sounds like he's not. But if so, do not show up with Mason mm-hmm. and all that. By the way, too, morning consult poll. We've talked about this in the past, the polling of popularity of governors statewide or mm-hmm. nationwide. Morning consult showing still Governor Kay Ivey continues to be the nation's third most popular chief executive. Now, will that change going forward? Because, once again, the last 2 years have been about, hey, thank you for being there and taking us away from the abyss that we were in with Bentley and steadying the ship of state. That was the idea. But now, going forward, next 4 years, it's a clean slate. It's you. It's not just, hey, you're not bad like Bentley. Mm-hmm. Now you've got to do some things.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, we're going to keep things even. She says, you know, keep Alabama growing, so be judged on that. But right now, third most popular chief executive in the nation. Poll showed that 63% of Alabamians approve of Governor Ivey's job performance, only 19% disapprove, and 18% either don't know or have no opinion. Those are the 18% that worry me. All right, coming right back. I know y'all got an opinion. We'll hear it. 343-0106. All right, 851 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Sean, Kelly, Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with traffic. And, of course, y'all on the text line and the phone line at 343-0106. Heads up, Ceasefire Tech Movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So the folks over at Ceasefire are investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science, so Ceasefire is teaming up with the schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach in their classrooms. They also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never saw possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, Ceasefire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. Future's out there, and the Ceasefire Tech Movement is leading the way. Join that movement at ceasefire.com/tech movement, spelled TECHMVMT. ceasefire.com/tech movement. All right, 852 FM Talk 106.5, talking about today's inauguration, Governor Ivey and others, and then the parade to come. A nice factoid there. Keith on the text line said, fun fact, well, a fact, KIV was instrumental in getting the POW MIA flags at our welcome centers.
Awesome.
That's great to know.
Thank you, Keith. I did not know that. I won't read all the comments here on Governor Bentley showing up. The problem is that they let him get out with misdemeanors, and I don't want to have it to where some governor has a misdemeanor, they can't come to a future inauguration. I don't want to change that protocol with the state. At the same time, you would wish that the former governor, Dr. Bentley, would realize his presence in Montgomery today is not a positive for the state of Alabama. I would let that sit for a while.
Sort of etiquette that he would understand that.
Yes, while, you're invited.
Yes, you're invited, and that you you're following, you know, in the footsteps of others who have been in the role. However, because of the way you went out, it casts a shadow on a day that's supposed to be about Governor Kay Ivey and the new 4-year term that she's embarking on and all the others who are, you know, being sworn in. It's supposed to be about that. But if he steps one size, whatever shoe he wears, onto those those Capitol steps, it's going to change.
Yep.
Well, he owes it to the state.
What you said. Yep.
He owes it to the state and the people of Alabama to not show up today. And if he truly does care about the state, as we're trying to move on from that tarnished legacy that he's left as governor, it would be best if he did not insert himself into the conversation today.
You know what he should do? He should just, you know, tape a video and send it. You know, post it, wish her well, and say he'll be watching from his wherever.
The cool sculpting studio there at the dermatology clinic in Tuscaloosa.
But if you left a job like that, why would you think it's appropriate to show up?
He is the most tone deaf. I'm sorry, but I mean you can go back to, and I can pull audio. I have hours of Governor Bentley audio that he was so tone deaf back then. Even when things were falling apart, he was la, 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 everything's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The people of the state love me. This is not my problem. Doesn't affect, remember he was out, this doesn't affect what I'm doing. This is
Was this during the Beach House era?
Yeah, it was all through that. I mean, he was absolutely tone deaf. So, and I'm worried he's still that way.
I wonder what former Mrs. Bentley would have to say about his showing up at the most inappropriate time.
She would say, "Don't show up," but there's that guiding hand is not there anymore. So,
Diane, that's her first.
Yeah, she won't be chiming in. I don't know. I just would hope, and we'll watch the coverage. But you said it correctly. The second he shows up, and I will be guilty of it as well. If he shows up, then that takes away the story from Governor Ivey and puts it on the you got to be kidding me. Bentley's there.
But something you said and Dalton, you may have mentioned it in your quote that they are friends. That he remarked on how they're such good friends and they've been friends for years. If you are a true friend, then you would know that this woman has worked so hard to get to where she is that she should be allowed to enjoy her day free of extra gunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you were a friend, if you were a true friend,
he may be saying he's her friend. I mean,
don't be a Johnny Gill Fairweather friend.
That's right. So don't show up. All right. So well, and there'll be much more. There'll be the speech, of course, from the governor. Also will be speeches, I'm sure, from John McMillan, who's treasurer-elect, and Attorney General Steve Marshall, and Lieutenant Governor-elect Will Ainsworth, and State Auditor Jim Ziegler, and Agriculture Commissioner-elect Rick Pate, who you said had more energy than anybody else.
I've never seen anybody like that in my life.
I got to see him.
One other person.
I got to see him at an event, a state event they had up at Portland Landing on a property the state acquired, and he was there. And I was like, "You hadn't calmed down even since the campaign." He's just.
Please send him my regards.
I did. I said. Kelly will be interested. He was just as full of energy then as well. So we'll see what he says in the speech today. Once again, here's the timeline right now. The prayer service going on that may have wrapped by 10 this morning. They start the swearing-in ceremony at the Capitol steps, and then after that, I guess around noon is what they're saying, the inaugural parade beginning and going down Dexter Avenue. Once again, if they really wanted to make the parade something, they would have some throws. No word if they're going to be doing it Southwest Alabama style. No throws there, just a parade.
And pretty cool, I thought. We talked about it quite a bit last week, but with the governor coming down to Gulf Shores to kind of kick off the inauguration over the weekend and had a concert with Neil McCoy and kind of showing the opening of the park there in Gulf Shores, showing off some of her handiwork there. But I thought it was cool to show South Alabama a little bit of love.
Yeah, and she's in the right place in the right time on that one. Once again, this is not taking away from Kay Ivey, but this process has been going on now for... Well, this will be the third governor that the process of building Gulf State Park is. She happens to be in office when it's completed. Now, good for her. Some of the stories you're making it sound like, well, she's the one who got it completed. It's been going on quite a while. The project had been started. That's not a takeaway from Kay Ivey. It's just keeping things honest. The project finished while she's in office. So let's say what it is.
Right place, right time.
Thinking about something, you guys. Think about TV Gold. If they do have throws, it's a moon pie and former Governor Bentley catches it. I just had the visual.
Do not tempt him.
What would you do? Like, what would your reaction be?
Oh, it would be some part of the new opening of Midday Mobile. That'd be for sure. We'll see if we can get some gold like that as we open up Midday Mobile today at noon. We'll talk more about Inauguration Day here in the state of Alabama. Coming up, Mike Gallagher. He's going to be on from 9 to noon. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com, Facebook, and also Twitter.